seconds. Got some current temperatures here for you. It's 49 degrees in Monterey, 49 in Salinas, and 48 in Watsonville. We're at 52 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios, and the official time is 10:06 and 20 seconds. On this Saturday, December 5th, 2009. Up next, we've got this Saturday special. MZ's in the studio. Stay tuned for that. You're listening to KSCO Santa Cruz, and I'm Nikki James, and here is that you?
It's me.
Oh, it's you. Good.
It's you, too.
It is me.
Hey, right. How can we both be who we are after last night?
I have no idea.
Wait a minute. People are going to get the wrong idea here. So. I'm talking about our annual KSCO holiday party that we had at the fabulous Seacliff Inn.
It was fabulous.
It was number 18. It was actually, it would have been 19, but there was one year that it didn't happen. But every other year, God, that's 18 of these things that we've done. And yeah. You've been to several of them, right?
No, that was the first one.
How can that be the first one?
Well, I was hired, last one, I was up in Idaho.
Yeah?
I missed last year's because I was in Idaho. Uh-huh. And I was hired just after the third one, I guess.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, this was the first one for me. So uh-huh. It was my virgin experience, and it was pretty fantastic. Uh-huh. I had a grand time.
Don't worry about
Everybody
it.
Looked great.
Uh-huh. Well, good. So we
and
are going...
And you...
What kind of experience?
And Mr. Zwirling was wearing a very nice jacket and tie. It was lovely. Wow, he's about ready to tip over the table right now. Okay, well, I guess I will keep us going here. In fact, why don't we start the show? What do you think about that, Michael?
Yeah, we got to start the show. I can do it by pressing this button, okay?
Oh, okay, you
Thank
got it?
Thank you for reminding me that we have to start the show.
You're
Good
welcome.
Morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today you know on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, and all of Central California, and all the world through the internet. It's KSCO's Saturday special with MZ and a special guest today, and a very, very interesting topic, one of my favorite types of topics. We hope you will stay with us for the next couple hours, because you'll be happy you did.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Okay, we want to welcome to our KSCO Studios Boots McGee, not just a Boots McGee, the Boots McGee, professional photographer here from Santa Cruz County. And Boots, welcome to KSCO.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it has been, I think this is your first time on the station?
This station, yes.
Uh-huh.
I want to clear one thing up. I'm actually a general contractor and have been for 35 years.
Uh-huh.
And have been a professional photographer in the last 20, 25 years. I've sold a few things. I've
uh-huh.
been published. What constitutes a professional photographer is one that would actually make all his money through his photography, which
uh-huh.
is nowhere near the case.
Oh, I see. Okay. And so how did you get into it? And you say it was about 20 years ago?
20, 25 years ago, uh-huh. I'm a surfer for 45 years.
All right.
Love to shoot the ocean, and especially around here. It's very colorful, and I have a lot of friends and have been involved in the ecology of saving our coast and documenting all that. And so about, I would say, 10 years ago, my knees were failing me, And I'm 62, almost 62 now, so around 52 I decided, well, let's get into a little bit more of photography. I got a matting and framing studio in my garage and decided to get a knee replaced and slowed down on my general contracting.
Uh-huh. But you still do it?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I've got a nice remodel going right now,
uh-huh.
stimulating the economy.
Great. We like to hear that.
Yeah.
So something unusual happened to you recently.
Yeah.
Seacliff State Beach, am I right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I live in Seacliff and have been for 40 years. Same house for 31 years now. I was down there with my family a couple of days after Thanksgiving. My niece and her family were visiting from Phoenix, Arizona. They wanted their Christmas cards taken. Now, I have some equipment. I have some lenses, and lenses make your equipment.
Sure.
I have a 30D Canon body with a booster pack underneath it.
It sounds hardly impressive.
It's hardly the most professional body, but I have a very nice 70-200 2.8, and if anybody knows, that's a nice lens. It's one of those white lenses, and I use it for portraiture and other nature and action shots.
Right.
But my favorite spot at Seacliff is underneath the pier. You have the pilings. You're looking down the pilings, there's waves crashing through the pilings, and you have your subject, which was my niece uh-huh. and her family,
uh-huh.
In the foreground. So I'm shooting down there, and I don't have a reflector. I didn't even use a flash other than the one that's on the camera. And I had a small camera bag. And as I finished the shoot, I'm walking up to the pier because I want to go up onto the pier.
Sure.
To
that ends at the cement ship, right?
Correct. Uh-huh. And the actual pier was closed that day. The waves weren't big enough to warrant closing,
uh-huh.
but it was closed. The gate was closed. And there was a ranger talking to another photographer and his family. Now, this other photographer had a Nikon system, looked very impressive. And his daughters, two young teenagers, I would say, were sitting on the railing. And his wife was behind them. And she may have had a small reflector. And they were talking to the ranger. And as I was walking by, he motioned for me to come listen to his spiel to the other photographer. So I'm standing there with my family, and he's explaining the law of commercial photography on a state beach. Well, I know some of the laws and try to abide by them when you need to. But then he...
What laws do you know about regarding photography? Well, that's not something I would even think of.
Well, the actual law is Title 14 CCR 4316, and it was enacted It was enacted in 1991. It was because photographers and especially camera crews, which bring in a lot of equipment, video or movie making crews, would come in and spoil the experience of other visitors. They enacted a law in 91 to curtail it, that type of photo shoot or video shoot.
Very different from what you were doing. I mean,
well,
you're just a one person.
It was my family
yeah.
Christmas card.
Yeah.
And he's explaining all this to me. And when I explained to him that this was just a family shoot, he went further. He could have asked my niece, is this actually your uncle? She would have said, yeah, that's my Uncle Boots. And so then he asked for IDs from the other photographer and from me. I said, I didn't have my wallet with me. He goes, well, what's your name? And I said, Boots McGee. Well, maybe that ticked him off a little bit. And he thought I was being a smart aleck or something. And, he goes, is that your given name? I go, well, my dad gave it to me 62 years ago. He goes, what's it on your license? I go, well, Howard McGee. Where do you live? 770 in Seacliff.
Yeah.
And so then he takes the license from the other fellow, takes my name, and calls in to apparently look for either outstanding warrants or if there was some probation thing. There was nothing there for either one of us. He finished the deal on the commercial filming and gave us a verbal warning and let us go. So I wasn't cited, but I felt slighted by his overzealousness. And I've been dealing with some rangers for years that have overstepped what I would say authoritarian boundaries.
Uh-huh.
They come off very strict. There's very little social skills, in my opinion. And quite frankly, they don't know the law.
Hmm. Now, so was that the end of the story pretty much, except that the more you thought about it, the more you your blood boiled? Or
well,
what?
You know, it never boiled.
Oh, okay.
Not about that. But I did share the story with a few people.
Uh-huh.
And they said, you know, you ought to write the Sentinel and write a little letter there. So I wrote the letter, did not embellish one bit. And then the Sentinel called me back that night and said they wanted to pursue a little bit more information. And so they printed story.
That's great.
Then I got a call from KPIX television in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
They picked it up. They wanted to do an interview. And at this point, I'm thinking, I grew up in Berkeley in the 60s.
Yeah.
So I've stood for a lot of rights that have been taken away, and they have been for a lot of people and groups of people. And I being a photographer, I felt, you know, I got to make a stand on this because a lot of photographers have gotten in touch with me from this article and shared their experiences. And they're not pretty. It's not a pretty thing out there. And I know they're under a lot of pressure, these rangers. But they're not being trained properly. And I would say the trainer needs to be trained in the law.
So there was no reason at all for you to have been called out by the ranger.
He could have called. All he had to do is call me over, ask me if it was a commercial shoot, if it was for profit, uh-huh. for sale or profit. Even ask my family if that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we could have been lying, you know, uh-huh. Uh-huh. but that wasn't the case. And then he could have said, have a great Thanksgiving weekend.
Uh-huh.
But what's funny is, for him to tell me I have to get a permit for this, he told me I had to go down to the district office, which I guess is Sunset Beach. Here it is 4 in the afternoon. The sun's going down. My family's going home to Phoenix. And it would have been too late to do that.
Had you already taken the shots?
I'd already taken the shots,
okay.
yes.
Okay, so you have the shots. That's good.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they're okay. beautiful, and I've uh-huh. sent them to uh-huh. the KPIX, wanted to have the actual shot, and my niece was very surprised that it's gotten this far and surprised that it went that far.
Uh-huh.
But she's happy that it was used in telling the story.
Let's talk about what the law is, and it sounds like you've done a lot of research. You sent me some information that I didn't get a chance to review, dang it, but we'll... You have, so we can talk about that here. And we can open up the phone lines, by the way. There's already someone calling here. I want to ask you some questions first. Boots, according to your understanding, if it was commercial, and if it was only one person, one photographer, and one commercial photographer, and whoever or whatever he was photographing involved, there's no question that a permit needs to be secured. Is that correct?
Well, in the provision, it's stated, and I'm going to go through this really quickly, photography for personal use does not require a permit or special authorization, provided that the photographer does not involve the use of props, sets, or professional models, does not require access to areas of the park that are closed to the public, takes place during the hours that the park is open to the public, does not interfere with other visitors' use and enjoyment of the park, and does not result in the disturbance or rearrangement of any park facility or feature. Protected features include rocks, minerals, and formations, and all vegetation. Then there's a provision on commercial photography, including editorial stock and fine art, requires a permit and a certificate of insurance. That insurance, you have to have $1 million insurance policy with the state of California named as the additional insured. There is no fee unless the photography requires monitoring by park staff. In many cases, monitoring is not required for still photography. Now, the funny thing is that the permit that they require you to get for a commercial shoot, which is for sale or profit, which mm-hmm. means your motives are for sale and profit,
right,
is an over-the-counter permit, unless it's a huge video production thing.
Yeah.
And so
that's
actually
reasonable that they, if it was a big thing, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
Uh-huh.
The problem is that being an over-the-counter thing, there's no fees involved that they're taking in to help, what, enhance the parks?
Uh-huh.
It actually causes more paperwork and money being spent, writing down these people's names and all the paperwork that goes along with it. So it doesn't actually enhance the state parks or make any money for the state.
Sure.
But there's also another thing that is really funny. In one of these provisions, the photography that does not require permitting, this is what they say in this provision. Personal photography for personal purposes is to be encouraged as a means of enhancing visitor enjoyment and extending the benefits and influences of recreational experiences. Personal photography by park visitors, whether still, motion picture, or video, is allowed without specific clearance or authorization under the following conditions. And I listed those conditions: props, sets, professional models.
Sure.
Now, this was the day after, or the maybe Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend.
Okay.
There were tons of people on the beach. Everybody was taking pictures. It was a beautiful day.
Right. So did the ranger just sort of picked on people that had
equipment.
Nicer equipment?
Exactly. Now, you could buy the body that I use at Costco.
Uh-huh.
Actually, it's four years old right now anyway. So, I mean, just because it had a white lens doesn't mean that it was a commercial shoot. He profiled me, mm-hmm. basically. And believe me, everybody needs educating, or education. But the way he did it, I thought he crossed the line.
Okay.
It just wasn't fair.
All right. Well, I assume that you believe that if there's a crew involved and, crowd control and all that, the permit should be required, because you've already said that.
If I were at the park and a whole crew came in,
right.
Yes, I would be.
Suppose you were, as part of your professional photography practice, photographing someone who desired a portrait there. Are you telling me that you have to get a permit
according,
from the state?
According to this ranger, yes.
Uh-huh.
But how do you read a photographer's mind? I don't understand the intent. How can you read the intent of the photographer? For sale or profit.
He did let you go. He let you go without any kind of citation, right?
It was more like it was backhanded, let me go. I mean, he gave me a verbal warning. I'm 62. Uh-huh. I don't
so he's
need
treating
this
you like a child, yeah.
In front of my family?
Right.
And all these other people?
Right.
It was kind of lame.
Yeah.
And then running warrants or whatever he did when he called my name in.
Yeah.
I thought that was overstepping.
Right. Because you had done nothing wrong. Okay, very interesting. you grew up in Berkeley. I grew up in Santa Cruz. The Santa Cruz I grew up in was a very conservative Santa Cruz, and we were very liberal kids, as most young people are. I think that's a correct statement. I think that's accurate. But Santa Cruz, when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, was as, extreme right-wing conservative as it is extreme left-wing liberal now. in Santa Cruz. Now, maybe you don't agree with that. I mean, maybe coming from Berkeley, you think Santa Cruz is just a nice...
Well, what year? How old are you, Michael?
I just turned 58, so I'm a few years behind you. And I did spend some time in Berkeley. I have a home in the very near Berkeley now, where I spend some time. And I was a student at Berkeley from 1969 to 1970. And back then, I was pretty predictably left-wing. And something happened in, when was it, 1979, that turned me a lot more conservative almost overnight. And that was getting a permit, or the difficulty in securing a permit from the city of Santa Cruz to build a house on a long established city lot. It wasn't something that I created. It was something that was already there. It was a vacant lot that I had purchased. And I've talked about this before on the radio, but I want to bring you up to speed on this. I was treated through by five design review, a board of five people from who called the board, the zoning board, I think they called it. I was treated as if I was trying to develop all of the open space on the coast between Santa Cruz and San Francisco. And it was one lousy 72 by 125 foot lot in the city. And it was horrible. It was just horrible what I had to go through. And this was back in 1979. It's probably worse now. Anyhow, it changed my politics. Has any of this changed your politics? Have you? Because I assume nothing like this has ever happened to you before.
I've been approached by Rangers for unreasonable reasons before, but I think the older you get, you do become more conservative. I've seen things go awry being in the building trades as I am, horror stories about trying to get a permit and working with
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I don't know too many contractors who are liberal, who appreciate the planning process in this county. Maybe, do you? I keep thinking of you as a photographer. You are a contractor and have been for years.
Well, being a photographer, you like open space.
Yeah.
Unless you're a studio photographer and that's all you do.
Right.
The beauty of this area should be kept at a reasonable level.
Right.
That's what brings tourism here. That's what keeps us wanting to live here.
Uh-huh.
And we don't want it a concrete slab everywhere.
Sure.
So I understand that there should be some regulation, as I say, that there should be some regulation when it comes to people making huge profits on the beauty here for advertising or, you know, making mm-hmm. money. Mm-hmm. Sure. But I think common sense, as you have said many times, I've heard you, is the bottom line here. And, you know, the city planning don't have any social skills either on dealing with people.
Do they still have design review? I mean, do you build primarily in the county, or do you?
I just do mostly small remodeling, and right now I'm on a bigger remodel. It has loosened up a little bit. I was very pleased. I was very pleased with the process that I went through just now.
Wow. And was that county or city?
It was county.
Uh-huh. That's encouraging.
Well, they're slow. There's not that much building going on. And you go into Big Creek and Pro Build, there's not that many people in line. They may be over in Home Depot. I don't happen to go over there much. But, there are, you know, they're hurting. They don't. They have one days. You know, they have furlough days, and.
I would have thought that the county would have that would be one reason for them to drag it out even more and make your life even more miserable than they're used to doing.
Because
I know the way they think down there.
Well, they want to give permits because that's the only way they're going to get some money. So.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
There aren't that many.
And by the way, this is not the staff. This is not. I want to make it very, very clear that I don't believe that the staff. There might be some staff that are that way, But I think that it comes down from the Board of Supervisors, who have been directed by the people to manage the growth of this community since 1978 when Measure J passed.
Well, I think it's funny that you would bring up the building process and all of that, and I'm talking about this other thing.
Yeah.
I think that some people who are in levels of authority have a hair up their butt and take it out on you.
Uh-huh.
Now, whether you're having fun on the beach, frolicking, going surfing, or whatever,
yeah,
and they have to, you know, drive around and carry a gun and go stop a dog, a loose dog or something, and that's bumming them out. Or maybe they're, you know, afraid of the public now, or, you know, wary of who they're going to run into, and that makes them agitated to begin with.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea, but I think that people in authority take it too far many times on all levels.
Do you think that's increasing these days, or do you think that's always pretty much been the case? Because there are control-freak people all over the place and always have been and always will be.
Well, as
I think it's getting worse.
I said previously, I think the older you get, the more conservative you get, because the young people that you see running around nowadays, they have no respect for us older folks most of the time. That adds to your conservative view, and I just think that it's kind of automatic with our days now, the way things are.
Don't you think the definition of liberal has changed? When I was a young kid, they said, "Oh, when you get older, you're going to be more conservative than you are right now." But I don't think I've changed at all. I think the definition of liberalism has changed. Liberalism used to be a liberal was a free thinking, you know, let it all hang out, you know, be free and reasonable with everybody. And now it's exactly the opposite. The liberals want to clamp down on everybody, and the conservatives that used to be restrictive and outrageous have changed. Conservative and they're what the liberals used to be. I don't think I've changed a bit. What do
Michael,
you think?
Michael, I think that a lot of radio personalities, yourself included, use the word liberal and conservative a little too often to describe people. I think that's a form of profiling also.
Wow. Good point.
And because I think that everyone has liberal or should have some liberal feelings towards people. I mean, I've heard you say socialism. Okay. I think that's, you know, a scare tactic. I think you bring up certain words and it clicks off certain ideas in people's minds, and they either think the way you do or they think exactly opposite. And hopefully they find it that there is a middle there somewhere.
Yeah, right. Well, that's good. You're listening to a spirited conversation between Boots McGee, local contractor and photographer, and MZ, local radio personality on AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station. It's about 25 minutes before 11 a.m. It's hour number one of the Saturday special. Let's open up the phone lines, go to our first caller. That would be Glenn in Santa Cruz. Glenn, welcome to the Saturday special.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi, it's that Glenn. Hi, Glenn.
It's good to be on the show as a caller, and all I want to say is liberal and conservative is a misnomer. The real question is liberty or tyranny. And in this case, tyranny was getting in the way of this man's liberty. Now, a couple things I want to say. One is they were talking about closing down some of the parks, and I think that would be the greatest thing, personally, because all the rangers are, they're just, to me, this is my opinion only, they're a big nuisance. They don't do any good. They're never around when they're really needed, and all they do is just bust you for little petty crimes. Now, I don't believe in victimless crimes. If there is somebody who's being victimized by a crime, if somebody's being hurt, then fine. Then that should be illegal. But if you're just walking around like I was just 2 days ago on Seabright Beach with my dog, there was no one on the beach. I mean no one. I mean maybe two other people on the entire Seabright Beach. And I was walking around with my dog, and you know my dog, Caesar. He is an angel. He doesn't do anything wrong. You know, he comes when you call him. He does what he's told. But still, a ranger had to pull up out of nowhere with his gun and his badge, and he pulled up in this huge 4x4, pulled right up to me, just very intimidating, got out of his truck and said, "Excuse me, I need to have a word with you," and came over to me, ran, asked me for ID, ran me for warrants, treated me like I was a criminal, and gave me a ticket. So the bottom line
what
is
was the
this.
Ticket
what
for,
was
Glenn?
I doing to hurt anyone with my dog on that beach?
Well, what was the ticket for?
Dog without a leash.
Oh, okay.
And the fact of the matter is, I asked him, I said, "What am I? There's no one on this beach. It's not like he's out there pissing on people who are trying to swim or sunbathe or anything like that. It was a cloudy, cold day, and I was just taking my dog for a walk, enjoying the public property and living here in Santa Cruz, California, and enjoying what we have here, our jewel, which is our beaches. And so personally, I hope the state of California becomes so broke that they can't afford rangers anymore, and they officially close down the parks. And as far as I'm concerned, I'll still hike in the parks. I'll still walk on the beaches.
Well, if a park is closed, doesn't that mean it's off limits to the public?
Well, they can say whatever they want, but if there's no rangers, the reason they close the parks, or they're talking about it, is because they can't afford rangers to go in there and scrutinize you when you're taking a walk on the nice trails.
Hey, well,
so
Glenn,
if the parks are officially closed, you go in to take a hike, there's no rangers there, well, they're not liable if you hurt yourself or, you know, whatever. But the fact of the matter is you're better off because then you don't have a ranger there scrutinizing you and giving you a ticket for a dog off the leash.
I'm gonna tell you that I've seen so many of these instances, that it's countless. I think the rangers are under a lot of pressure. The litigious nature of people now, if you are pissed on by a dog or bitten by a dog or the dog jumps on you, you can sue the state for not enforcing the law. So I can see they're kind of in the middle there a little bit. The thing I was talking about in the article and how I feel about it is that there's the letter of the law and then there's the spirit of the law. And then if you can't discern the difference where certain times warrants certain measures, then you have no business being an authority. That's how I feel about it.
Well, I think in my mind, I'm a libertarian, and I believe, look, if there's a victim, there's a crime. If somebody's dog bites you, that person should be held liable and should pay. There's no doubt about it. But if you're just taking a walk on a beach with your dog, who's perfectly well-behaved, who has an invisible leash, meaning he comes when you call him, and doesn't attack other people, then why should you pay the penalty for other people who have unruly dogs?
I totally agree with you. I've seen rangers drive a half mile down Manresa to hassle one guy with one dog. And no doubt they got ticketed. There's very few that I know of warnings. I've seen a ton of ticket giving.
Well, I think they're revenue collectors. Whether or not the bureaucracy eats up all the revenue they make, like you were saying earlier, the fact of the matter is they're tax collectors. And they're getting in your face, and these people don't care about the community. In my opinion, I mean, I don't know where they live, but the fact of the matter is these people are like invaders. They're like Martians. They come down from another planet, and they're here to prey on us like parasites.
Now, Glenn.
Wow.
Now, that's a little...
Wow.
Isn't that a little much?
Well, so, I personally...
There is a law against a leash. Not against a leash, in favor of a leash.
I don't benefit from the state of California. I pay so much taxes here to this state, and I don't get anything back. Personally, I hope the state of California becomes broke. They legalize gambling, eliminate the state income tax, and stop getting in our face, because this state is so friggin' annoying. It's a big bureaucracy, and I hope it implodes. And I also like Carly Fiorina for governor.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. There goes Glenn in Santa Cruz, who hosted the Saturday special 2 weeks ago here, in case you don't recognize that voice. Here's Don and Bonnie Doon. Welcome to the Saturday special, Don.
Well, thank you very much. Can you hear me okay?
Just fine.
Oh, great. Yeah, I've actually met Boots before, and he's a real nice guy, and he's pretty... He takes pictures. He took a picture of me surfing and said, "Go check it out on the internet." So, he, as far as I know, he just gives it away. So it's not, he doesn't sound like he was there for a commercial venture. But my question is, a couple things here. Do we know the name of this officer? A couple of years ago, if this is the same officer, he shot a dog. He killed it. Because it ran up to him, quote, in an aggressive manner. According to the other side of the story, it was a black lab or golden setter, you know, one of the retriever kind of dogs, with a ball in his mouth, with his tail wagging frantically. He wanted the officer to throw the ball. The officer starts screaming, control your dog, and then shoots him.
Wow.
I don't know if it was the same guy.
Do you know the story I'm talking about?
Yes, of course I do.
Tell it for the... I didn't know the story. Tell it quick. I'm sorry.
This is big.
Okay. Well, let's find out. Let's hear it now.
No, go have him tell it. Because
I don't know any more of the details than what I just gave.
Oh, okay.
But what I'd like to know, I mean, if we could find out if this is the same guy, and if that's the truth, if that's him, then we've got a problem officer on our hands.
Well, not being there to see what happened, I can't. Comment on that, but
afraid to give the officer any lip, because a guy who has a gun, you know, can shoot you dead right on the spot.
Yeah.
But what I would have done is somehow found out who that officer is, and you could probably still do that, because you told me on the phone yesterday, Boots, that you did not know the name of the officer, and I would not let 1 minute go by without finding out the name of that officer.
Yeah.
There was intimidation. There was actual. I felt intimidated by the guy checking for...
Do you remember what time of day it was?
4 o'clock, 4:30.
4 o'clock on you think it was the Saturday after Thanksgiving?
I think it was Saturday, yeah.
So, but if it wasn't, it was either Friday or Saturday
after
Thanksgiving.
The head ranger, Leckenflatcher, would know that particular officer, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, let's find out who it is.
Yeah, let's find. We will find out.
We will
invite that officer to come on the radio.
There you go.
And to tell his side of the story.
I'd love to talk to him.
We're not
going to
demonize him right now. It sounds like we are. I realize it.
Well, where's the ranger here?
Well,
I'd love to talk to the ranger.
I didn't invite him, but we will.
Michael, it's so one-sided of you.
I know. Yeah, it's a terrible thing.
That's why I wanted to come in. I wanted face-to-face.
Well, did you think that we were going to get him?
Absolutely.
No, did I tell you that?
No.
You shouldn't assume anything, okay? I asked you if you wanted to come on the radio and tell your story, and you said, yes, I would like to.
But this
That's
is
all.
A great debate.
It is a great debate. Okay, I'm sure there are thousands of people listening to us now. I'm sure someone out there knows this person. I think it's reasonable to expect, because this was promoted on Charlie's show last evening, quite significantly, because I saw to it that would happen, because there was no time to do a pre-recorded promo. I think there's a very, very good chance that the person himself knows about this, and I named the head ranger, I guess, by name. I had his name right in front of me because I had read the story. And so there's no question in my mind that they know that we're doing this program. I mean, very little question. I mean, maybe people are on vacation this weekend or something.
Well, let's invite them to at least call in.
Of course we will. 479-1080 is the phone number. And I guess there's one line available now. Everything else is jammed. So we should move on. But
Don
and Bonnie Doon, thank you for calling the Saturday special. Okay, Siri in Scotts Valley, welcome to the KSEO. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm the one who didn't have a computer, Michael.
Uh-huh.
I called in sometime back. Do you remember that?
No.
Okay. Well, anyway, you hung up on me. I said I didn't have a computer.
I hung up on you because you didn't have a computer?
Well, that's what it sounded like at the time.
Okay.
On the show. The reason I was calling...
If that's true, then I'm a bad person. Because,
no,
seriously. Because
I was just trying to let you know who I was.
That's not a reason to hang up on somebody.
Okay.
And I don't normally hang up on anybody. David Corsi does all the time.
Okay, he hung up on me, too, when I tried to call in and speak about corruption going on.
Okay.
This is very serious, what I have to say. Last week, a Scotts Valley police officer was here, and I will give you the background as to why he was here after I explain what he did. I have many cameras around my home, inside and outside, because of the situation I've been going through for at least 20-plus years. last week, a Scotts Valley police officer on a motorcycle was out front. I heard him. I have a deck. I went onto the deck, stood at the top of the deck, and asked him why he was there. He said, "'Cause I can." And I asked him again.
On your private property?
Well, he was on the street. But my point I should get to very quickly is he turned off, with technology, my wireless camera that I have out at the street. I have it on a long stick through a tree out to the street. And while he was, right when he arrived, this is a Scotts Valley police officer, right when he drove up, the camera went off. When he drove away, the camera resumed. I happen to that night have that particular camera system, which is a two-camera system, on with two cameras going instead of just the one he turned off.
These are surveillance cameras?
Yes, mine are. Yes.
Okay.
This is why I called you before, because Scotts Valley City was the subject last time. They had come onto my property I called about that before. So anyway, I have proof. I have hundreds of tapes. Many have been stolen. I'm overwhelmed with what I would like to say, what I have been through. But I have hundreds of tapes of video of corruption on the government level in this county, the police, PG&E, the utilities, being the water company, PG&E, UPS, Federal Express. I have proof that is so unbelievable, a good majority of the people that heard it would not believe.
Would you please explain a little more, please?
Yes, I say I'm overwhelmed. I've been going through this for years and years and years and years. There's a
Just
reason.
Going through what, Siri?
Okay.
Get to the point because you got 30 more seconds. Go.
Okay, here we go again.
You're sounding like a crazy person. So go ahead and get to the point. I'm going to give you a minute.
I have proof on video of what I did.
Of what? Of what?
That the Scotts Valley police officer turned off my camera. I have proof of that.
Okay.
You're telling me I'm crazy because of the things that I have said?
Well
thank you so much, Michael.
Okay, goodbye. Stupid idiot. John in San Jose, you're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I was having a little trouble with your producer or whatever. I'm calling about the dog on the Seabright Beach.
Yeah.
And the Rangers. I think the Rangers have finally started doing a great job. And I don't understand this guy, how the Rangers are supposed to differentiate between one dog and another dog.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think it's wonderful the dogs are on the beach, beaches where they're not people. You know, he may have been there at a time when there's no people. But you can't do that. You can't just have dogs running around those beaches like that.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah.
Anyway,
I started to say I was going to bring up that there are leash laws for a reason.
Exactly.
That you can't differentiate between dogs. Some dogs are nice and won't attack people, and some will. And some that are nice most of the time might get a hare up and attack somebody all of a sudden.
So I don't understand what this guy's complaining about. He shouldn't have been on that beach without a leash. The problem is people don't care about laws anymore.
Yeah.
So that beach used to be horrible when there was drinking on the beach. They finally stopped that. And now they're controlling the fires, and kids aren't burning their feet every summer from hot coals left over because they're finally enforcing laws. And now you have people complaining because they can't light a fire outside a fire ring. You know, it's just nuts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy. You guys were talking about respect. Nobody respects anything. You walk in downtown Santa Cruz. I told a girl one day, a young girl like 15, probably a Santa Cruz High student. There was about four of them. She threw some junk on the ground. And I said, I wasn't being mean. I said, young lady, that's not nice to do. She told me to F you, you know?
Okay. Well, thanks for calling, and you're right. There's no respect. We appreciate it. We're going to take a commercial break. Nikki reminds me that we need to do that. So let's do that right now. You're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special. We will be back in just a few moments.
If you're planning an office party, a holiday gathering, or a New Year's celebration, remember, for a safe, fun, and festive way to celebrate the holidays, have plenty of Martinelli's Gold Medal Sparkling Cider on hand. Martinelli's, in the traditional champagne bottle, is the perfect choice for your holiday gatherings. It has all the elegance and sparkle of champagne, but without the alcohol. And you know, Martinelli's has the best flavor because it's made only from U.S.-grown fresh apples, not from foreign concentrate like most other brands. Martinelli's looks great, tastes great, and complements all your favorite foods, from party snacks and buffets to holiday dinners. Martinelli's, fun, festive, and non-alcoholic. Enjoy the original, Martinelli's Gold Medal Sparkling Cider, a family tradition since 1868.
This is Stephen Martinelli. I'm here with my son, John, the fourth generation president of our family's 140-year-old cider company.
All of us at Martinelli's wish you a safe and festive holiday season and a happy new year.
When the shooting started, the 9- and 10-year-old Sudanese boys ran into the bush of the Great Rift Valley, only to face death from crocodiles, lions, and Muslims. 3 months later, they reached the safety of a UN refugee camp in distant Ethiopia. Now, for the rest of the story, join me, Michael Olson, Saturday at 2 p.m. for a special edition of KSCO's Talking Books radio show. Local author Sue Brucia will tell us how she and husband Bruce adopted two of the lost boys of Sudan and took them into their Watsonville home. It's a great big adventure from Sudan to Watsonville, all in the book I Was a Stranger and You Invited Me In, with author Sue Brucia from Watsonville, Saturday 2 p.m. on KSCO's Talking Books. Join us.
You might not be able to say it very easily. Apiary, that's what she said to me. Let me just tell you something about the rest. If you're into bees and beeswax, then you're into Pacific Crest.
Give the most this holiday season by giving the gift of honeybees. Hi, I'm Dana Mum of Pacific Crest Apiary's Honey Farm and Gift Store. Come out for a visit. We're just a stone's throw from Aptos at 875 Calabasas Road.
You'll find Dana's handcrafted beeswax candles in many styles, lots of delicious honeys, and a gift store stocked to the rafters with the kinds of gifts your loved ones will keep forever. Tuesdays to Sundays, 11 to 5. Directions at PacificCrestApiaries.com.
A proud member of Think Local First.
Back for me. Pacific Crest.
Pacific Crest.
Apiary.
Oh, how sweet.
If electricity flows through it, you can do it with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman speaking up for the experts of electricity at Santa Cruz Electronics. Listen to what your friends and neighbors do with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Xbox 360 repair.
Solar energy kits for school science project.
Need a splitter.
Four camera shoot.
Musical Tesla coil.
Video output for my home media center.
Building a new server for doctor's office.
Repairing a student radio station.
More RAM and a sound card.
DSL line.
Network printing, scanning, and faxing for dentists.
Replacing antivirus on 12 machines.
Wireless network for court reporter agency.
Diagnosing sound card problem.
Building a 5-kilowatt amplifier.
Ham radio antenna.
If electricity flows through it, you can do it with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444. That's 479-5444. Or visit at 2808 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. You can do it with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Hi, it's MZ wondering how many KSCO fans intend to take the swine flu vaccine. I'm not, don't trust it. But then, I don't want to get the disease either. So I use PureWorks, a unique disinfectant that comes in foam or spray form. PureWorks is not your typical hand disinfectant. There's no alcohol to dry your skin and it lasts for hours, not minutes. Use PureWorks to protect yourself from disease and infection. You can find out all about it and order it online at nogerms.info. That's nogerms.info. Don't introduce potentially dangerous chemicals or toxins into your body to keep you well when they could actually cause the sickness you want to avoid. Don't pick your nose, don't shake hands, and don't handle banisters, rails, and doorknobs. Do try PureWorks, available online at wholesale pricing to KSCO listeners. Go to nogerms.info. That's nogerms.info. Be well and stay well.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we have to let Frau Ogle know when something political is coming on your favorite radio station so she can participate. Frau Ogle is actually in the studio now. I tried to get her to stay for the second hour, but she won't hear of it.
I have to be at City Hall for a meeting.
Okay, she has to be at City Hall in Fremont or Milpitas or someplace for a meeting at 1 o'clock. So we won't be able to hear from Frau Ogle today, but that's what we call a tease in the radio business for the future. Thanks, Angie.
And there's some candy.
Okay, thank you. All righty, it's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. I've been soundly thrashed by people who said I shouldn't have called that lady crazy and said uncomplimentary things. Okay, I apologize. I'm basically a nice person, but I'm sorry she got under my skin. It's a radio station. It's a radio show that we don't want people tuning out of. We want people to get to the point. So if you're going to call the radio station, get to the point. RC in Aptos, welcome to KSCO on the Saturday special. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, everybody.
It's the morning, but that's okay. Unless you're in a different time zone, it's possible.
You're right. I didn't sleep good last night.
Right.
Hey, there is a word that describes the kind of feelings or attitude that you guys are talking about. And it's called anarchism. And I'm a practicing anarchist myself. Now, anarchism should not be confused with anarchy. That is, I don't believe in people going out and doing whatever they want. But anarchism is just that element of people, within people that wants them to live their lives without the element of authority. That is, everything that you do in your organizations or your operations, you do with consent, with cooperation, by agreement. But when there is an element of authority brought into the mix, that is, you do this because I'm superior, you're inferior, you got to do it, it just causes resentment. And so I am a practicing anarchist, and you may even have that element in you as well, Michael.
Moi?
Huh?
Moi?
Well, you know
that
what
means
I'd like.
Me.
You know what I'd like to see.
What?
A suggestion was to have a protest and have it to be a photo shoot protest, and have 100 people down at Seacliff Beach, bringing their cameras, taking photos, and then having Michael Zwirling give each photographer $1. And that would constitute
a commercial,
a sale, profit.
Yeah.
And it just would be silly, but it would be a statement.
You know, the Metropolitan Transit, they give aptitude tests for their bus drivers. And the only thing that they want from their bus drivers, other than safety, of course, is to have a benign attitude towards their passengers. They don't want, they essentially encourage you, and they give aptitude tests to find out the people who are less confrontational. And those are the people that they hire. Some of the older bus drivers are jerks, but the newer ones have better attitudes. And that's essentially their approach.
Maybe because they're old and crotchety, the ones who are jerks.
It could be. I don't know.
As a person gets older and crankier, they get naturally crankier. I know I do. I've been called a curmudgeon.
Well, you know,
I used to call other people curmudgeons, and now I'm being called curmudgeon.
Yeah, it could be. It could be once a jerk, always a jerk, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
All right, RC, thanks for your call on the Saturday special. Mike in Capitola, sorry you only got about 30 seconds, but we can hold you over if you want.
No, I just want to say, there's two conservative values here, individual property rights and protection of the ocean side. And I think they both have to be considered carefully and compromised between them. But I'm also protecting the shore as much as possible.
Now, wait, I want to hold you over. You sound so much like Barney Frank. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose.
Karen Riegel.
Here's Fox
President
News.
Obama is headed to Capitol Hill tomorrow to speak to a Democratic caucus meeting. The goal? To rally the troops and get health care legislation passed. Getting all the Senate Democrats on the same page has not been a short road. Senator John Kerry says he's on the pass it page.
We've heard an incredible amount of scare tactics. Senator after senator standing there, jumping up, pounding out one sort of misstatement or one distortion or another, claiming that they're standing there to protect seniors.
Georgia Republican Saxby Chambliss had a response for Senator Kerry.
The senator from Massachusetts said that we're here scaring seniors. Well, I hope we are. Seniors ought to be scared. They ought to be scared to death of what's going to happen here because we're taking almost $500 billion out of Medicare.
The reform bill calls for cutting Medicare by $460 billion. Supporters of the bill says those cuts are all bloat. 109 dead after a nightclub fire in Russia sparked by fireworks inside.
That firework causing a fire actually on the walls and on the roof, and then that in turn causing a huge amount of smoke, which of course then meant a lot of panic, people desperately trying to get out.
Sky News' Amanda Walker, 130 more are injured, 90 of them critically. Most of the injuries are severe burns. Now, investigators in Russia have arrested the owner of that nightclub. Also under arrest, the club's managing director and three others. The argument is that the club was not up to fire codes. One person is dead and many more injured after a bus crashed into a tractor trailer in Wyoming. The Highway Patrol says the bus was en route to Billings, Montana from Denver when the accident happened. Police say the truck had already had an accident and had its hazards on, but the bus didn't see it. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
They've taken your money. Now Fox Business Network is taking them to task. Every weeknight at 7 p.m. Eastern, David Asman hosts a special series on America's Nightly Scoreboard. Tune in for exclusive reports and hard-hitting investigations that challenge Washington and expose the latest corporate corruption. You will not want to miss this nightly show when David and his team of expert reporters keep score on the issues that affect your future. Bottom line, you have questions and only one show keeps fighting for you to get the answers. America's Nightly Scoreboard with David Asman, only on the Fox Business Network.
Do you believe in the freedom of the press, thought, speech, and worship? If your answer is yes, join the online community where you can finally be heard, thefoxnation.com. Fox Nation allows you to be a part of the tradition that has made America great. It's time to say no to biased media and yes to fair play and free speech. Be a part of the real news of America and join the online community that believes in the right to express your views, values, and voice. Join thefoxnation.com now.
An American student and her ex-boyfriend have been found guilty in Italy of murder.
The judges and the jurors took 13 hours to decide Knox and Selecito's fate. As the packed courtroom listened, the verdict was handed down.
This court declares Knox, Amanda Marie, and Selecito Raphael guilty.
The case has captivated the Italian media, with Knox becoming a notorious celebrity. But her parents, who were in court for the verdict, claim negative reporting played a part in their daughter's conviction.
Alex Rossi from Sky News reporting. We're waiting for word on a possible hostage situation in Houston. Police have surrounded a church there where a gunman may be holding a woman against her will. Police have said they heard shots fired, but no word on anyone hurt. Vampires are hot, even academically.
Texas Christian University in Fort Worth is letting students have just a little bite of vampire knowledge.
There's definitely something going on in the culture that, is loving vampires at the moment.
Professor Tricia Jenkins will teach the course, but why? Probably because the vampire has been getting more and more popular again in fiction, while it may not be Bram Stoker's Dark Prince.
I am Dracula.
And is more likely the hunky heartthrobs in the Twilight New Moon series. The course will cover how vampire stories like Buffy the Vampire Slayer become so popular with teens and young adults. Eben Brown, Fox News Radio.
It didn't look like her ski pass, say the folks at the Keystone Resort in Colorado. The picture was that of a man. The woman explained she was in the middle of a sex change, hence the difference. The sheriff called the pass holder's father to check the story. The father was shocked to hear his son was going through a sex change operation. But it was not so. The pass holder says he gave the pass to his girlfriend. She's been arrested on charges of theft and criminal impersonation. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James, and I've got your Central Coast forecast for the weekend. We're going to have sunny skies today. Highs 57 and west-northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear. Low at 35 with light winds. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 55. West-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, southeast winds 5 knots, becoming west 10 to 20 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves less than 2 to 3 feet and a west swell of 4 to 7 feet at 13 seconds. Current temperatures, we got 49 degrees in Watsonville, 50 in Monterey, and 50 in Salinas. We're at 56 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO studios. Just so y'all know, there isn't really anything to report with traffic, except for Highway 17 is blocked about around Redwood Estates area, and that is only due to the road cleaners. So there's no accident to report at this time. So you are going to slow down up there. Alrighty then. We got the official time at 11:06 and 20 seconds on this Saturday, December 5th, 2009. And up next, we have the second hour of the Saturday special with MZ. You're listening to KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Nikki James.
I like it when you say, all right then.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, say it again.
All righty then.
Good. That was good. That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Alrighty, so we are going to officially start hour number two. And you know how we do that, right? You know how, don't you?
I love it.
Yeah,
let's do it.
This button here I press. See?
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back.
Okay, it's a Saturday special all about authority. It's essentially what we're doing today. 479-1080 if you have an authority story to share.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And our special guest in the studio at KSCO today is Boots McGee, a local contractor and a professional photographer who had a run-in with some authority at Seacliff State Beach over Thanksgiving weekend. And he is relating that. So it's turned into a pretty big story, actually. It's been covered by other media. This is something that, why didn't we know about this first? We had to find out through another media. Why do you write a letter to the Sentinel instead of calling KSCO? You know, break it much quicker. You don't have to wait for it to be published the next day or the next week or something like that. Anyhow, let that be a lesson to you, Boots.
Okay.
It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO MZ and the Saturday special. Before we went to the break, we were talking with Mike in Capitola, who thought he could tell us in 25 seconds what he called about, but he couldn't. So we're bringing him back on. Mike, you're on.
Yeah, thanks. To me, the California seashore is a very precious, precious thing. I don't like authority myself. I'm very resentful. But as far as the California coastline, I'm all for strict restrictions to property owners, et cetera.
So you don't do you not think that that Boots here was mistreated?
Really. Nobody slapped him. Nobody fined him. I mean, you have to step on people's toes to get their attention. I'm all for that.
Okay.
I think that California seashore is something precious that we should bend over backwards to protect.
Okay.
And I do that. I have my park pass. I pay $125 every year to get a park pass. I pay my taxes. I support certain authority in the community. When it goes over what I would call unnecessary and demeaning in some ways, like I wasn't ticked off. I was just surprised. And then I got ticked when I was thinking about it. And then I thought I should write a letter just to let people know that this stuff goes on a lot more than it doesn't.
It's sort of like you were being scolded in front of your family or something, right?
In a way, especially when he took my name and ran my ID to see if there was something that he could get me on, possibly.
Right. Yeah. So anyhow, hopefully we'll be able to get the name of the person, and he will be willing to come on the radio here. And we will treat him with fairness and respect, as we do everyone. You're laughing.
Never mind.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking about that caller earlier today.
Well, that and the other callers I've heard.
What other callers?
Well, in other shows. Let's go back.
All right, good.
Many years.
All right. Okay, Nikki, pay close attention, okay? Nick in Royal Oaks, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I got about 10 words I could make a subject out of everything, I hope.
Okay.
The dog. A few years ago, before they made the law, I've seen, people would go down with a lot of respect, walk the dog beside them or let them run. Most of them keep them out of the wildlife. And then this guy comes up and he starts doing it, and he disregards for everything. And it might be the same guy every day. I don't know. But 1 out of 100 out of 10, it started doing it, and one person looking at it and says, it's got to end. And that's the erosion. I think our environment has eroded, and we can be intruded upon very easily. And here on the beach, we have a guy who I think can be trained as tactical. When they just, well, it's not a bad tactical. It might be correct, but the eroding environment and the intrusion where a man just has to come get out and question you. A question. Boots?
Yeah.
I got in a minute late on the story. What was the setup? Because, I mean, if you just went down to the sunset and did it, I mean, who can predict the sunset? You can't get a permit in this for a year. What was your setup to the situation?
Well, to tell it really quickly, I have a decent camera and a very good lens. I was shooting my family for their Christmas card. The ranger was talking to another photographer who was shooting their daughters for a Christmas card. He was telling us about commercial shooting and how illegal it was to do so without a permit. And so that went on for a while. After we explained it wasn't a commercial shoot, then he took our IDs and ran a check on us to see if we had outstanding or that we were wanted for something. He gave us a verbal warning, which I didn't need a verbal warning at that point, and sent us on our way. I was not cited, but I just felt slighted. That's all.
So anyhow, I want to thank you for calling the Saturday Special, Nick. Our next caller is going to be Kenny in Watsonville. Hi, Kenny. You're on the air.
Thanks.
Hi.
I like this program. It speaks to so many issues, but the general notion of what about authority? And, I know Boots peripherally through my business, and I know of him from other people, and he's, a person of good character, and he follows the law and, in most things. And so this is a great case of somebody who I believe has what I would call a statist mentality. And I've seen it in law enforcement in the last 30 years. It's growing and growing. And, I'll preface this by saying I support enforcing the laws against criminals, especially when you can see clearly that a crime is being committed, there's a victim and all that. And I understand the need to have some kind of regulation when it comes to commercial ventures in public places. Those things are, without a doubt important. But this notion that this officer decided to enforce the law this way, it speaks to the heart of what Boots said about spirit of the law, the letter of the law. And it goes to this notion that people have been educated now in law enforcement, I should say indoctrinated into this kind of government is the cure for everything mentality. Whereas before, individual rights and responsibilities were considered to be the first order. And so a guy like Boots, who's down there not bothering anybody, in fact, doing something really neat with his family, is being accosted by this person who has this state you know, run mentality, and is very paternalistic in the way he approached the thing. And it was insulting for Boots. I mean, I can hear it in his voice, and I can just imagine if I was in his position and my family was there, and this guy with a gun and a badge comes up and says, "Why are you taking pictures on the beach?" And you're kind of just dumbfounded by the fact that someone's asking you that in the first place. And then he has this arrogant, "I'm better than you are," statist mentality again. And I can throw my weight around. That's not the proper way for law enforcement to act in a free society. And I think that people like that need to be called to account. And that's why I always recommend when people have an encounter with the police, whether it's good or bad, and 999% of the time I've ever had an encounter with the police, it's been a very positive thing. So personally, I don't have any axe to grind, but I've heard of things happening like this with people. But you should get the name of the person. Every time you have an encounter with any kind of law enforcement, whether it be, on a beach with a state park person, or if it's a game warden, they carry guns now too, and it can be very intimidating, and or a police officer, and it's good. I mean, I've actually got their name and called the police department and said what a wonderful job the guy did. So
hey, Ken, yes. I appreciate some of your comments. Do you know how intimidating it is to ask for a guy's badge number and his name? Already you're on a kind of a weird little level with him, and then you're...
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You know, you got to be real careful, because these guys can make up all kinds of things that you said and that you did, that you didn't. And it's an easier thing to do is to find out who was on duty. If they'll tell you, which they might not.
You can usually see it. They usually have a badge that's very clearly, and with police officers, they usually have their name on it too. You know,
that's true.
So you can get it that way. And then, you know, you could go backwards and do it that way too. And I understand that it can be intimidating to ask, which that speaks volumes right there, doesn't it? The fact that in America, we're being intimidated by the police that when we're not even doing anything wrong. And even if you were doing something mildly wrong, like say you were getting paid to take that picture, is that really...
And I don't think that's wrong.
I don't think it's wrong either. If it is wrong, it shouldn't be.
If it's wrong as far as the law is concerned, the law is wrong.
An attitude in any job, attitude is everything. And it's especially important that people that are given the power of authority need to be really reasonable and really rational in everything that they do. And, you know, I understand sometimes there's extenuating circumstances where there's, you know, a crime in progress and all that. That's a different issue. But when you're just on the beach and people are taking a picture, you know, I think the police should, and any kind of law enforcement should definitely err on the side of caution and liberty, more important than, you know, caution, but liberty when it comes to, you know, dealing with the citizens of the United States. Because, you know, we're supposed to be living in a free society, and it's getting less and less so because of this statist mentality, and it carries through to some of the ridiculous laws that have been passed, where we're protecting everybody from everybody and from themselves, instead of letting people have their individual rights and, at the same time, the accompanying individual responsibility.
Hey, that well said.
Yeah, thank you very much for saying it, Kenny. Appreciate your call to the Saturday special. Our next call is going to be none other than Douglas in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, this is Douglas Weymouth. I happen to be a personal friend of Boots. Hey, Boots, what's up?
Hi, Doug.
I'm all for this shoot-in, as someone characterized it. I happen to have a tripod for my camera, so that might really look professional. And I could bring that down as well as a flash. But I think this whole thing is ridiculous, and I think we need to get Bill O'Reilly on it, because it's just another part of the war against Christmas. Here this law-abiding citizen was taking Christmas card photos, and the Rangers trying to abridge his right to celebrate Christmas.
Well, so, Doug, I could have been using my business as a professional photographer and had set up a shoot down at Seacliff Beach for clients for their Christmas card. The Ranger didn't know what I was doing, and when he asked me what I was doing and he told me, that should have been good enough.
Yeah.
When, and when I told him, what it was, that should have been good enough. Because what is he going to do, read my mind? Ask my niece.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Doug, want to thank...
One last thing. Okay. I think that there was a major shift in the whole park service when they armed the Rangers. Before
hey, when was that and why? When was that and why?
I can't remember exactly. I think it was somewhere in the 70s or 80s. But when they went from being, you know, the Ranger, like Yogi Bear used to get chased around.
Yeah,
to,
that Ranger.
To gun-wielding mind controllers.
Right.
I think that was where it really went bad. Right. And I'm glad that you gave Boots a forum to express his outrage. And
I want to encourage anybody who has an alternate point of view, especially you know, a park ranger who may well be listening, maybe not on duty, to call in, to call 479-1080. We got about almost 40 minutes remaining in this program.
Plus, Michael, one other thing. I want you to call out for people that have had photography.
Thank you.
Confrontations.
Sure. Give us a call at 479-1080 if you've had a similar experience that you would like to share to our listening with our listening audience, similar experience that Boots has had. Douglas in Santa Cruz, thanks for calling KSCO. And we have Gerard, Becky, and John in Salinas. But it occurred to me that I have made a terrible error. Normally, the format of this pretty freewheeling show calls for... it's a new case commentary, right? Right at the first part of hour number two. Typically, we world premiere the latest.
Started on the 4th.
Oh, it did? Okay. Yeah. Well, here it goes. For people who don't listen to the rest of the time, but they do listen here, take it away.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
It was probably a decade ago that I learned about, got excited about, and wrote a commentary about the fair tax to replace our national income tax. It seemed like the perfect answer for how our government could generate the money needed each year to keep us functioning fairly. At the time, it stimulated some interest, but the economy was reasonably good, so not enough members in Congress felt the need to seriously promote this change. It's a totally different ballgame now. Our new administration is floundering and not focusing on creating jobs and producing honest stimulants to get us going. But thankfully, some leaders are realizing that this is a perfect time to resurrect the idea of the fair tax. It will be a monumental job because those running the IRS will not go away easily. After all, the IRS is like a gigantic city of redundant employees with a tax code of 67,500 pages. Isn't that insane? As we speak, there is a fair tax bill in Congress, and here's what it does. It eliminates all personal income taxes, the marriage penalty, payroll taxes, capital gains taxes, death taxes, the alternative minimum tax, corporate taxes, and Social Security taxes. It's so unbelievably simple. It's a retail sales tax collected only on new items. It expands the American tax base to bring in illegal immigrants and trillions of dollars now in the underground economy or hidden offshore. It's simple, fair, and allows every American to take home far larger paychecks free of federal withholding. It unleashes our economy to grow, and already it has 63 congressional co-sponsors, and those sponsors need all of us to back them, to tell our own congressional leaders to pass this fair tax bill. Our present tax system is broken and rewards dishonesty. Drug dealers and other criminals pay no taxes. Neither do some of Obama's appointees and czars. Illegal transactions are not taxed, and millions of illegal immigrants pay no taxes. And those Americans who hide money in the offshore banks and investments pay no taxes. I honestly believe the illegals living here would welcome the fair tax as a way of legally participating in our country, a way that they could handle. The fair tax bill in Congress is just that, fair. Taxes would be collected only when anyone or everyone chooses to purchase a new product or service, nothing more. There's no hiding from these taxes by the dishonest and politically powerful. The fair tax would reduce the tax burden for all honest, hardworking Americans and close the IRS, which would save us billions. 80 economists, including the Nobel Prize-winning economist Dr. Vernon L. Smith, have called upon Congress to pass the fair tax bill. And even Alan Greenspan says a consumption tax, such as the fair tax, could certainly meet the fundamental criteria of being simple, fair, and pro-growth. Ken Hoagland is the fair tax director of communications. The fair tax would put trillions of dollars into our economy as funds which are in offshore banks and investments in income tax avoidance schemes come home, enough to create an economic boom for a generation or more. Really, a sales tax would do wonders for us, our children, grandchildren, and our beloved nation. Together we can all put our country on the right track. To conclude, as one who is vigorously against socialization of my country, I'll close with Obaminos. For KSCO, this is Case Whirling.
Was that a play on the Spanish word vamanos? There's a pregnant pause here. You're supposed to say something.
Oh, am I?
Yeah. You want me to repeat the question?
I heard it.
Oh, okay.
I just...
what do you think? Or is that something else? Maybe I didn't...
Oh, vamanos.
Obaminos.
Yeah, I think she wants Obama to vomino. Uh-huh.
Yeah, oh, what did you say? Well, I'm sorry. What did you say, Boots?
I thought that that was an abomination.
An abomination. Okay, cool. All right, you're listening to the Saturday Special. Boots McGee is our special guest. He's had more than one run-in with authority that was unreasonable, in his opinion, and mine, actually, because I've just been, during the commentary, Boots shared another story, another personal story, along with his hope that some other people will call into this program with some of their stories. 479-1080 is the phone number. Tell us the story you shared with me about the guy, the ranger with his hand on his gun. What's that?
Well, Michael, this is not me.
Oh, was it you?
No, this is not me causing any of this.
Oh.
This is me as a citizen waiting for the gate to open at Manresa to go surfing.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody knows that if you park outside that gate, you have a good chance of your car being broken into. There's glass there all the time. Well, I have tools in my van and stuff like that, so I choose not to park out there. The gate opens at 8. Sometimes they open it earlier with a maintenance crew. There's really nowhere to pull over if that little dirt patch is filled with cars, so you try to show up at 15 to 8. I got my pass on my rearview mirror. And there's a kiosk, and the gates are closed, and there's a double yellow line, a double yellow line, that my van actually fits in between, in front of the kiosk. I'm not blocking the driveways either way. The ranger comes up from the beach and comes into the parking lot to open the gate. He opens up the exit gate, walks up to me. And I roll down my window, and he goes, what are you doing parking here? And I said, well, I'm waiting for the gate to open. He goes, you're not supposed to park in front of the gate, blocking the lanes. I go, well, I'm not blocking the lanes. I'm waiting for the gate.
The gate is blocking the lanes.
Correct. He told me that I'm supposed to be parked out in the dirt parking lot. And he's talking to me with his hand on his gun. He's actually got his hand on his gun. I swear to you, this is what happened. It's a different ranger. He then said, you will abide by my demands, won't you? Well, yeah, of course I will. I'll never do it again. He opened the gate. I went in, didn't feel like surfing, and was bummed the rest of the day because of this run-in with this guy. Uh-huh. Now, I know a lot of people have had similar instances with a couple of these characters who throw their weight around for no reason.
Are you, excuse me, are the people that Boots McGee is speaking of in our listening audience brave enough to call the radio station at 479-1080 and relate their experience? Is anyone out there brave enough to do that? 479-1080. Let's go back to the phones now. Gerard in Santa Cruz, you're on the air on KSCO.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Boots, I understand exactly where you're coming from, and I would be offended, too, because he should have been minding his own business. The days of Jellystone Park are over. The Rangers are just being police. And they'll check to see if you have registration on your vehicle. You know, I mean, they're just policemen anymore. You know, the state's broke, you know, so I figure they're trying to get you on anything these days. You know, I've noticed how many policemen are just, you know, stopping pedestrians these days. They're just trying to get money at it everywhere. You know, so, you know, I mean, I remember last year when I was down at the harbor and I was just reading my paper in my van and these harbor patrol came up to me and decided to just see what I was doing there. And so as I was waiting to have my warrant check, the other ranger I was talking to, or the other harbor patrol I was talking to, and he's all like, well, we do this job for the excitement. You know, we only get paid like, you know, minimum wage, $12 an hour. We're not here for the money. We're here for the excitement. So if he's not having an exciting day, he'll go out and create it.
Wow,
so, interesting.
You know, I mean, I understand exactly where you're coming from. I bet you I know that ranger. He's probably short. He probably has a gun, you know, swinging with a bulletproof vest. And he probably was transferred. He was probably in an unmarked ranger car, too, because I probably, you know, it's green, and he should have markings on that thing. And they swoop up on you, you know, and... I mean, at 3:49 on the 4th of July, a couple 4th of Julys ago, I was down there at Itz Beach when you can have your dog off leash at 4:00. And this guy on the 4th of July gave me a ticket with all these other dogs running around, you know, gave me a ticket, singled me out at 3:49, you know, right before 4 where you can have your dogs off leash. You know,
you should have gotten out of that ticket, right?
Yeah, no, actually.
Or was it just too expensive?
Actually, I showed up to court and he didn't show up.
Uh-huh.
So that's a good thing that, you know, you follow up on your tickets and stuff, you know, because sometimes they'll say, you'll think they're not worth it or they're not going to win. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they have a power trip going on. Uh-huh. And they.
Hey, today is Saturday.
Yeah.
Today is Saturday, which is the day of the week that you thought, that you believe this happened to you.
Yeah.
Was it two weeks ago or one week ago? 1 week ago, yeah. Just last Saturday. What time was it?
Between 4 and 4:30, probably 4:15. The sun was going down. It created beautiful light through the pilings at, uh-huh, at the pier.
Well, there's a good chance that Rangers will be working today between 4 and 4:30. If anybody wants to go down and see them.
You know.
There's a good chance.
Huh? Why not?
I don't. I really
not you.
I didn't think
you,
that this
you'd
was
be a,
gonna.
You'd be a troublemaker. You better not do that.
I didn't think. I'm sure that my truck is known now, and if I will let Michael know if I'm going to be harassed or something in the state parking lots, or pinched by somebody that happens to run my plate or something like that. I'm going to follow up on this. I didn't want this to. There's some people that wrote into the Sentinel comments page that thinks that I'm some media monger, blowhard, I think was the thing, and that I'm a kook and all of this stuff, and that I'm only attracting attention. I think that if you do not stand up when necessary, you're going to lose it all.
I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah, that's great. It looks like we've got a full board of callers now. Pretty close to it, yeah. All right, hey, Gerard in Santa Cruz, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. That does open up a line at 479-1080. So if you want to get in, you can still do it. Let's go to John and Salinas. John, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hey, yeah, I was just kind of curious. Well, I don't understand all the attention this is getting. I don't know if I heard the entire story. I've been listening off and on. But from what I understand, this is, even if worst case scenario, this is not a terribly egregious offense. An officer was investigating a possible commercial photo shoot. Cop contacted the person involved and determined it wasn't and then left. And then he ran a warrants check and got his name. And that's the standard procedure. You know, in fact, most of the supervisors, they want to know everyone you contact, just in case there's a citizen complaint down the road. And it's a standard procedure. I don't understand, like, one person, Bill O'Reilly needs to get involved. And Marcus Rowling's talking about if people are brave enough. I think you're being flippant at this point, but are people brave enough to call in and share their stories? This is like a non-issue. I don't understand why this is being blown out.
I appreciate your comments, but if certain things are standard procedure, then certain things need to be changed because we're tax-paying citizens. We don't need to be approached, and I believe there's a statute in California that says they can't ask you for ID if you're just standing there. And if you do give them your ID, there's no standard procedure that they run you for warrants. There has to be some probable cause or something that has to happen to warrant that.
No, you're incorrect with that, sir. You're incorrect.
John, you must be a police officer, am I right?
I am.
I hope you are. Okay, good. Good.
And I really
appreciate that you called because you are sort of brave because everybody else is against you on this one and so who's called thus far. Well, I think that's great. So I think it's wonderful that you're bringing your perspective. But I do want to ask you a question if you don't mind.
Well, if I could just comment, this has nothing to do with being brave or courage, me calling in. And conversely, I happen to think, I don't mean any disrespect to the gentleman, to Boots, or to anyone else, but it seems like they're excessively sensitive and somewhat fragile to be so shaken or bothered. Like even the one caller, Glenn, says, you know, the officer drives up in his big car with his gun. I mean, would he feel more secure if the officer had no gun and a small car? I mean, there's a lot of hyperbole I'm hearing.
Good point.
On the radio that is, you know, we're here whether people like it or not, and when you're in trouble, you're going to like it. We're here as to present for command presence purposes, to exert authority, to control people, control scenes when they're chaotic, out of control, and we don't even care to enforce leash laws. Our command staff, our admin, forces us because someone mentioned this is a highly litigious state. And believe me, you will get sued. The city will get sued. A directive will come down, and you better show you're doing your job. They'll be checking your status.
Can I ask one question? Who is the person here that should be trained? Is it the citizen, or should it be the people that are wielding authority?
Well, I can speak to that. I think I can cover that. You mentioned. I just wanted to clarify. An officer has a right to investigate a potential crime. So if he suspects it's a commercial photo shoot, he has every right to contact you and obtain your identity. There's no probable cause is required to run a warrants check. That's, you're in error when you say that. You can run a warrants check as long as it is within the scope or within the duration of the detention. If you complete your investigation, then run it after the fact, there could be an issue and the courts are gray on that matter. But you know,
here's a question. Can any officer just stop somebody to run a warrant? Just a random thing? They have random alcohol checkpoints, right? Sometimes. And that's okay, I think, right? I mean.
That falls under a whole, the DUI checkpoints is a whole different matter. But Joe Blow officer, okay, there's reasonable suspicion and there's probable cause.
Reasonable suspicion is a low standard. It's like 20% certainty or belief that you believe someone's involved in criminal activity. You can stop and detain someone to investigate. Probable cause.
Which is what that ranger did with Boots, probably, right? Because he saw at least a nice lens on his camera and said, oh, this might be a commercial photographer who might not have a permit. That's probably what happened, I would think, right?
I don't know the circumstances involved, the particulars, but I'm just telling you in general, you know, it's a very, very low standard to detain someone. Now, if you have probable cause, which is 51% certainty, that's all it is, not guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, but just to make the effect an arrest, you believe there's 51% likelihood that person committed a crime, you can make an arrest. So to run a warrants check, you don't need reasonable suspicion or probable cause. You don't need any of that. You can run it arbitrarily. You cannot stop someone and detain them unless you have reasonable suspicion, though.
Right.
And, you know, and someone, some of the comments, like one caller, you know, I don't know. I guess there are definitely bad apples out there. I've never heard cops speak the way some of the callers are outlining it, and I've been doing this job for 13 years. I know people tend to embellish a lot, and I know there are bad apples, but I will say this about law enforcement. You take bad doctors, bad lawyers, bad teachers, et cetera, bad photographers, bad people. You're going to find a far, far fewer percentage of bad apples in law enforcement than you will in any other field. And here's why. I'll back that up, in my opinion. We go through extensive background investigations. We'll go interview our high school teachers, even our elementary teachers, all of our ex-girlfriends, neighbors, et cetera. We'll have a battery. It's a six-hour psychological test followed up with an interview with a psychiatrist. We take polygraph tests. We go through such, you know, senators don't go through what the average cop goes through. So there are bad apples, and some of them do not know how to talk to people. Some of them may be a little bit badge heavy in the end, but far, far fewer than, say, you have bad teachers, et cetera.
Okay. Hey, John, would you mind? I really appreciate that you called. Would you mind staying on hold in case some of the other callers might have some questions that it would be great to have you answer?
Yeah, I don't care to engage someone who's going to be unreasonable.
No.
I can talk to a client.
I don't know how often you've listened to the station, but we don't operate that way. You know, I think this is a great discussion, and I'm serious when I say thank you very much for calling, because Boots was a little, I don't know, miffed is the right word, but he was disappointed, I guess, that we didn't make some sort of effort to or even have, you know, someone from the state parks here to engage in debate. And I said, Boots, first of all, there wasn't much time. And secondly, in our experience, whenever we've asked any government official or agency to come and sort of maybe be a little bit, even a little bit on the defensive here at KSCO, they always say, I'm sorry, it's, you know, I'm busy that day or whatever. They never show up. So I'm really appreciative that you called. I told him, I said, there's a good chance that a caller will call in with a different perspective. Anyhow, we're going to put you on hold and hang up if you have to, but there's only 17 minutes left in the program. We got a whole board full of people, and they might want to ask you a question. So would you mind?
Sure.
Great, thank you. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. We do have a commercial break. How long is it, Nikki? Ooh, 5 minutes. Okay. Well, that's we'll see if we'll start it, and maybe we can shorten it or something, but we'll see, depending upon what it is. So it's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, MZ and the Saturday Special with Boots McGee and Officer John and Salinas. We will be right back.
Hi, Tim Whitlow from Whitlow Concrete. Pleased to sponsor this portion of the Saturday Special on KSCO AM 1080. Get ideas for your project from our website, whitlowconcrete.com, and call us at 475-4499 for a free quote. That's 475-4499.
This Friday and Saturday, the Heritage Holiday Craft Fair brings the best in gifts, food, and family fun to the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds. The fair is thousands of square feet and three huge buildings filled with handcrafted arts, crafts, jewelry, antiques, toys, and so much more. The food court features enchiladas, tri-tip, and sausage sandwiches, plus Gizdage Ranch pies and hot cider. And, too good to be true, County Fair cinnamon rolls.
Find your inner child with a free ride on the giant carousel and enjoy a country Christmas at Ag History, plus free hay rides. Admission is $3 for adults. Children under 5 and ample parking, both free. For gifts not found in the mall or any catalog, it's the Heritage Holiday Craft Fair this Friday, 10 a.m. until 8 p.m., and Saturday, 10 till 4, at the fairgrounds on Highway 152, just east of Watsonville.
Hi, folks. Warren Knox here of Knox Roofing. We all have been given the Bill of Rights drafted by our forefathers. They gave us liberties and freedom basic to our American way of life. Well, I decided to create the Bill of Rights with the relation to your home. Your home has basic rights. It has the right to stand there proudly. Your home has the right to a leak-proof, fireproof roof. Your home has the right to be properly ventilated to avoid musty, trapped air and mold. Your home has the right to be insulated against the elements of heat or cold. Your home has the right to look nice, to stand tall and proud. Your home has the right to be protected by warranties and companies willing to be able to be there on a moment's notice. Your home has rights against insect and critter invasion. You know, if your home could talk, I'll bet its rights would be violated in some way or another. Here at Knox Roofing, we're here to defend your home's rights. Just give us a call at 461-0634. Okay, thanks, folks.
It's time to unravel the mysteries of health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services, an authorized independent agent for Anthem Blue Cross.
It's becoming increasingly more difficult for hard-pressed businesses to maintain their employee health insurance plans. If you are a business person in search of lower-cost alternative, I may have the answer for you. This strategy can help your employees pay for individual or family health plans through payroll deductions, and these individual plans may cost as little as one-third the group plans. Use the power of my experience as a health insurance professional. We'll talk over the options to help your employees access their own individual health plan. I will make sure that they get the assistance that they need to choose the best coverage at the most affordable rates.
Unravel the mysteries of your health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services. Go to healthexchangeforall.com for a free quote and then give Pamela a call. That's healthexchangeforall.com.
California Insurance License 0D75558. Anthem Blue Cross is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross Association.
What connects you to your doctor? Our guess, it's the relationship you've built together, the quality of care you receive, and that your doctor lives and works in this community. That's why, if you're Medicare eligible, you should consider enrolling in a Medicare Advantage plan accepted by PMG, Physicians Medical Group of Santa Cruz County. By enrolling in a Medicare Advantage plan with Physicians Medical Group, you're assured affordable, preventive, and routine medical care. This plus access to over 300 local physicians and 42 specialties, both state-of-the-art hospitals, and convenient walk-in care. And best of all, it's all provided by a PMG primary care physician or specialist who, like you, is proud to call Santa Cruz County home. Visit us online or call 465-7800 to learn more. Your doctor, your plan. Medicare Advantage with PMG, Physicians Medical Group of Santa Cruz County.
When the shooting started, the 9 and 10-year-old Sudanese boys ran into the bush of the Great Rift Valley, only to face death from crocodiles, lions, and Muslims. 3 months later, they reached the safety of a UN refugee camp in distant Ethiopia. Now, for the rest of the story, join me, Michael Olson, Saturday at 2 p.m. for a special edition of KSCO's Talking Books radio show. Local author Sue Brucia will tell us how she and husband Bruce adopted two of the lost boys of Sudan and took them into their Watsonville home. It's a great big adventure from Sudan to Watsonville, all in the book I Was a Stranger and You Invited Me In, with author Sue Brucia from Watsonville, Saturday, 2 p.m. on KSCO's Talking Books. Join us.
Wow. Bumper music. Holiday bumper music. Okay. 10 minutes, 11 minutes before 12 noon. 11 minutes remain on your favorite radio station Saturday special with Boots McGee. Got some emails I'll run through real quick here. This is from Nick Clifford. Thanks for having this guy on this morning. I couldn't believe my eyes reading this story in the Sentinel. A permit? How dare they? If I had a big camera, I'd go down there right now. In fact, I might go buy a reflector and provoke these morons. Nick. Okay, thank you, Nick. Ray Iddings. Oh, my gosh. This is a big, long thing about property rights here. Probably a different program for this. Photographing public scenery. You know, for people who have, how do you turn 20 minutes worth of material into 10? Here's an interesting thing. Report a crime, go into a database. This is from Gary in Live Oak. My son received a counterfeit money order after checking with a bank that it was bogus, and son was to send merchandise to an address. We brought the counterfeit check and particulars to the sheriff's section. They would not proceed without taking my name, birth date, etc. Another time, some drunks were continually harassing a young lady on the beach who was with her children. The sheriff would not act on the complaint unless I gave name, birth date, etc. The criminal gets away while we go into a database. I think they get paid by the federal government or Homeland Security to do this. Everyone needs to carry a rolling camera and recorder. We are becoming a police state. A Sunday evening program on civil rights would be great. Thank you for your station, Gary in Live Oak. Okay, thank you, Gary. Now let's go back to the phone lines here. Next caller, Michael in Capitola. Is this the Michael who was on before?
Yes, hi.
Okay, we got to finish. We don't normally have two callers, calls from the same person. In fact, we held you over the spot, didn't we? Anyhow, real quick.
Okay, thanks, Michael,
Real quick.
Yeah, the voice for the community.
Thank you.
Yeah, we actually should extend the program for a few days talking about this situation that we have.
Michael, you got to get to the point. We have a whole bunch of people who want to get on who weren't on once before.
Well, okay. So I'm basically backing up the person, you know, and I back up the policeman for the courage to come out and.
Great, and I appreciate it, and I have a question for Officer John too, but I want to get back to some of the other callers here. Let's take our next caller, Don and Carmel. Thank you, Michael. Don and Carmel, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hi, MZ.
Hi, Don.
I just wanted to affirm what a previous caller said about the Rangers becoming like police. I was doing some docent work down here at a local park. It was a Friday afternoon. We were just finishing putting up the tools and cleaning them in the tool shed. And the young ranger said to the old ranger, "Oh, boy, I'm going to go out and party tonight." The old ranger told the young ranger that you got to be at the rifle range tomorrow morning to qualify on the MP5. Anybody that knows what an MP5 is a submachine gun. Uh-huh. Why do the rangers need to be qualified on submachine gun?
I'll be honest with you, that might be a really good question for Officer John. John, you there?
Yes.
Did you hear that question?
Yes, I have no idea why.
Okay. All righty. Well, put you back on hold. Yeah, thank you, Don. Appreciate your call. I'm not going to give out the phone numbers because we got too many callers already. We're going to try to get to everyone. Richard N. Watsonville, our good buddy, you're on the air.
Hey, Mike, I can answer that question why, and the reason why is because they only carry shotguns on those little trucks that they run up and down the beach on.
Oh,
okay. That's only for up-close action.
Right.
You know, the machine gun be for some far-away action.
Gotcha.
Across the beach.
Okay.
I mean, instead of going all the way, wasting gas to get Glenn and his dog, just shoot it to get Glenn and his dog, you know. Glenn needs to read signs, doesn't he? There's signs all over that beach. Don't go on the beach without a leash on your dog. So Glenn likes to break the laws. Boots McGee here doesn't seem to get it. Those guys are down there turning in his license plate number while he's down there on the beach. They already know who he is. They love to get you guys on the beach going so upset and get you guys going so fast that you guys actually run out of the beach, and then they love to chase you down the highway because then we have the police beach joining up with the county sheriffs, joining up with the highway patrol, putting out a project rope. You know, I mean, keep it up, McGee. You guys are the ones that put the police out there on the beach. You know, you say you've been out here for 30 years. I mean, obviously, you know that There never was a gate at Manresa Beach. There never was a paid parking lot or a kiosk at Manresa Beach, man.
What's your point, Richard?
The point is that you guys over the years have been crying and complaining about your cars getting ripped into. Now you're complaining that the people that are protecting all that stuff are giving you a bad time. Well, isn't that a shame? You don't like it? Do an illegal photo shoot.
I have
no idea.
Get
all your buddies together and do an illegal photo shoot if you don't
like
it.
I have no idea how to respond to you, Richard.
Well, then go over to Monterey and see how they do the cypress tree over there. You can't take a picture of that at all, man. Okay?
The Monterey, 17-mile drive
you're
talking
about? That's
right. Jeez, I've broken the law then.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God.
Everybody does it. I mean, Booth McGee's been upset here at Seacliff Beach with a seaman boat.
Okay. Richard, thank you. Tammy in Scotts Valley?
Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz. Well, yeah. You're on the air, Tammy.
Hey,
hi.
Thank you. You know, I was up in Yosemite. And
yeah, talk a little louder. We can barely hear you.
Oh, sorry. I was in Yosemite, and they had rangers everywhere giving people tickets, $5,000 tickets for food in their car. And I have six kids, so I had a lot of food. I had just arrived, and I didn't see any signs or anything, but I just saw this guy yelling and giving what for to a ranger, and this woman started giving this lecture, the woman with the gun, started lecturing him.
Please deposit 20 cents.
Oh, my God.
So
this is terrible. You need a cell phone.
I know.
Okay.
I said that basically I looking at the situation, I hardly ever, you said, who was brave enough to call in? And I'm like,
please deposit 20 cents.
Sorry, Michael. God.
Daniel in Watsonville, welcome to the Saturday special.
Yeah, I guess my comment wouldn't really be in regards to the situation on the beach. It's just a general comment. Are you aware of this outfit called Oath Keepers?
No.
Okay, you should probably look into them. They had a conference last weekend in San Francisco. And what they're all about is just informing police and military that they have taken an oath to the U.S. Constitution. And that's very important. And I think a lot of police and military really don't understand the oath they've taken. And if they're informed, I think everything will be better.
Oath takers?
Oath keepers.
Oath keepers. Okay, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
.org, is it? Or?
I'm not sure if it's .org or .com. It's
okay.
Pretty easy to find it. They're out there.
All righty. Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate it. Scott and Capitoli run the Saturday special. Go.
Hi, Michael. Hey. I used to surf with Boots McGee 30 years ago, and he's the real deal. We were the Rangers back then.
He seems pretty real. He's in the studio here. He's pretty real.
Yeah, we used to be the Rangers. Ask him how many people he pulled out of riptides and how many lives he saved.
Well, you just did ask him. Go
and,
on, Boots.
Well, thanks,
27?
I bet you probably saved a lot of people out there in the water when there were no Rangers around.
Well, I'm most proud of my past experience in protecting the coast. I haven't saved that many people. I've warned a few people that they were over their head. And I've been over my head before, too. And maybe next week I'll be over my head with a new swell coming.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, Boots, you're the real deal. So are you, Michael. And when my grandmother bought a beach house in Seacliff Beach in 1958. We still have it in the family. It's worth about $3 million. Whenever I see a ranger, I'm going to go Boots McGee and take a picture of him. You're the man.
No, wait a minute.
Thank you.
I want to be invited to a potty at your beach house here because new caller D. Hi, new caller D. You're on KSCO.
Yeah, hi there.
Hey.
It's interesting. All of the observations I've been hearing sound so much like the instances of being in places like Cuba and formerly communist Hungary, where they can ask you for your ID.
Well, it's not that bad yet, but it's definitely moving in that direction.
And it's it's a new calibration to being tolerant of that kind of thing as a normal thing. And I really want to say thanks to all the folks who are in service to us, in protection of us, and to please bear that in mind as they approach us, even in a...
Like Officer John, who was kind enough to call and add some balance to this program.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I was going to say that.
And to keep really the spirit of service alive in the case of approaching every single person on the beach, if that's the forefront, to know you're in service, then that ought to be helpful for keeping anybody in a bully boy situation.
Thank you, new caller D, and do call again.
You're welcome.
Okay, thanks. Here's Ben in Scotts Valley. Welcome to KSCO. Gosh, there's less than a minute.
Okay, hey, the reason why Rangers do the MP5, not
for long range, because MP5 is not for long range. That would be a sniper rifle, but they have to do against the drug dealers and stuff, so
yeah,
they don't want to be overpowered.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for making that point. We do appreciate it. I want to thank Boots McGee for coming into KSCO Radio. And we will do what we can to follow up on this, because it would be nice if we could get the input from the other gentleman. We want to thank Officer John and Salinas. Unfortunately, can't get to Marshall in Santa Cruz's phone call today on the Saturday special. But this program will be repeated tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight, or on demand at SaturdaySpecial.com. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Rosie, for coming up with the idea of this program. Rosemary Chalmers, our program director extraordinaire.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 12 noon. Here's Fox News.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. President Obama says he'll be at work tomorrow on Capitol Hill, urging a Senate Democratic caucus to make health care reform happen. The Senate's at work today as it tries to wrap up that reform bill. Majority Leader Harry Reid is trying to get his caucus of 60 into the same room.
How much longer will we look the other way while our neighbors suffer right in front of us? How much more are we willing to charge those fortunate enough to have insurance in order to cover the many who don't?
Republicans don't want this bill to get to the president's desk the way it is.
Americans never expected that health care reform would mean they'd have to give up the health care they have and like. They didn't expect it because they were told it wouldn't happen. Unfortunately, that pledge was broken this week.
Republican Senator Mitch McConnell speaking on the Senate floor. What's causing the divide among Democrats? Abortion issues. Sticking points for Republicans include cuts in Medicare. More than 100 dead after a terrible nightclub fire in Russia.
What was supposed to be a joyous celebration of the 8th anniversary of the Lame Horse Cafe in Perm, Russia, turned into mass panic and tragic loss of life when three fireworks fountains on a stage ignited a fire. Flames spread across a wood and plastic ceiling. 200 people tried to squeeze through an exit, and in the ensuing crush of people, 109 died. 130 others were injured. Today, Russian President Medvedev demanded the owners be punished, calling it a crime and saying, quote, they have no brains and no conscience. The club had been fined twice for violating fire safety regulations, and another fire inspection was due on Monday. The club owners have been arrested. In Moscow, Dana Lewis, Fox News Radio.
It's a record for Louisiana. The earliest snow ever fell today, albeit just a dusting. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1973.
I will not place the blame on subordinates, on people whose zeal exceeded their judgment, and who may have done wrong in a cause they deeply believe to be right.
I'm getting out of baseball because I don't feel that when I go on the field, I want to give 100%. And the people of America should look at a guy like myself that loves the game of baseball and being on the field and not being able to produce.
But it was the unanimous judgment of my advisors that resignation would carry a presumption of guilt sufficient to prevent a defense on the merits. And I'm afraid that what I've been hearing and seeing and reading persuades me that they were right.
People have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
Nominating your girlfriend to be U.S. attorney is being frowned upon.
Earlier this year, Senator Max Baucus urged the White House to nominate Melody Haynes to be U.S. attorney in Montana. But it's only now we're learning that she is Baucus's girlfriend. Baucus's office contends that Haynes was recommended because of her qualifications and that the relationship had nothing to do with it. Baucus, now divorced, was separated from his wife when the couple became involved. According to the website Maine Justice, Haynes withdrew as a candidate for U.S. attorney earlier this year when the couple decided they wanted to live together. Bill Vitka, Fox News Radio.
There hasn't been much resistance as U.S. Marines and Afghan troops try to stomp out Taliban supply and communication lines in Afghanistan. About 1,000 Marines are involved, as are 150 Afghan troops. At least 7 militants have died. 5 peacekeeping soldiers are dead in Darfur. All those soldiers were from Rwanda. There were 2 separate attacks, one yesterday and one today. the soldiers were shot. The family of the victim in a much-watched Italian murder case is speaking out.
They have lived every parent's worst nightmare. Their 21-year-old left to study in Perugia 2 years ago, then is sexually assaulted and murdered, her throat slit. Yesterday, Meredith's roommate Amanda Knox and her boyfriend were condemned to 26 and 25 years respectively. Today, Meredith's brother Lyle Kircher had this to say.
We are pleased with the decision, but it's not time, you know, it's not time for celebration at the end of the day. You know, it's not a moment of triumph.
Meanwhile, the Knox family this morning visited their daughter, Amanda, in prison. In Perugia, Courtney Walsh, Fox News Radio.
We all know how a spelling bee works. The word is read, the student repeats, spells, and says the word one last time. That's a hard thing for deaf students. Deaf students will enjoy their own spelling stage in Illinois next week, where they'll be allowed to sign their answers. It's the 13th year of this bee. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your Central Coast forecast here for the weekend. Today we got sunny skies, high of 57, west-northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight mostly clear, low of 35 with light winds, and Sunday mostly sunny with a high near 55, west-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the southeast winds 5 knots, becoming west 10 to 20 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves less than 2 to 3 feet and a west swell of 4 to 7 feet at 13 seconds. Tonight, northwest winds 10 to 20 knots, becoming east 5 to 10 knots after midnight. Wind waves 3 to 4 feet in the evening, becoming less than 2 feet with a west swell of 3 to 6 feet at 12 seconds. Out there on Sunday, the southeast winds 5